بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد. So yesterday we started off with فتلقى آدم ربي كلمات فتاب عليه. The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala receiving verses. I'm sorry, Adam alayhi salam receiving a specific words of tawbah from Allah. And then he used those words and Allah accepted his repentance. Then we shared with you the dua from the Quran. Which dua was that? وَرَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We talked about the method of how Iblis acted when he got in trouble and how that Adam, his response was when a mistake was made. And so we need to choose the Adam alayhi salam method when we make mistakes and not the method of Iblis, of being stubborn, adamant, finding an excuse for everything and not bowing our head down and saying, you know, I made a mistake. And then we mentioned one dua of Nabi Adam making dua through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of that being La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah being written on the throne, and he knew hence that that person or that being, that Nabi whose name is written with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, has to be someone super special. So hence, he made dua through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talked about the benefits of that as well. Now, talaqa Adam Rabbi kalimat, Adam alayhi salam receives words of tawbah from Allah. What comes to mind right now is that when a person is sincere and is in trouble, is in situation, Allah will inspire you how to ask from Him. There are certain words to be used, you know, to be able to knock on Allah's door. And when a person is sincere, hopefully, and he asks Allah, Ya Allah, you put the words in my mouth. Because I don't even know how to ask from you. I am completely zero in front of you. So even what needs to be asked, I don't know. How to ask it also, I don't know. Priority-wise, what's the most important thing for me to ask on this 11th day of Ramadan? I don't know. I got tens of things on my mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is going to happen tonight after Maghrib, what's going to happen after Isha, what's going to happen tomorrow morning. He knows all those things in your family, in your business, in your home. And hence Allah can inspire us to start making the appropriate du'as. How many times has it been, I'm sure you've seen, that you thought of something, you say, Ya Allah, I wish I could meet someone. And lo and behold, the person's there. I mean, it happens to me many times to me as well. And you say, subhanAllah, the fact that Allah made you think of that person, or made you do dua for something, and then within a minute or 2 minutes or within a few minutes, you're able to cross paths, you see that seems to be clearly a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah in His infinite knowledge knew that this is going to happen in the near future, and now He inspired you to make a dua like that. So this is these special days that we have of dua. We all should, one of the first du'as we should say to Allah, that Ya Allah, inspire me to ask you what I need to ask. There's all the things that we want to ask, but a lot of the ones, if you ask a kid, he wants to make dua, Ya Allah, give me 1,000 lollipops and 1,000 Snickers and 1,000 candy, 1,000 Coke. That's what he's going to make dua. But that's not what he needs, but he wants that. But there are so many, an innocent child, how many du'as of his, subhanAllah, can hit the throne of Allah and become a means of bringing sukoon, itminan to thousands of people if the innocent child starts making dua. There are some kids, you know, mashallah, you come across once in a while who sit there in a corner, 8, 9 year olds, subhanAllah, and they raise their hand and making dua, you know, so earnestly. And you just say, man, as a human being, this is so touching. Imagine how beautiful this must be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this innocent child is sitting here making dua. So talaqa Adam Rabbi kalimat, the point is that we also should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with the best du'as. Whenever we sit for our Khatm al-Quran du'as, and when we're sitting together, always make du'a. That Ya Allah, inspire the person who's making du'a with the du'as that need to be made at this moment. So I'm going to continue on with this topic because I said there was one more dua that's mentioned in Durr al-Manthur of the dua that Hazrat Adam made. And I'll read that. أخرج الطبراني في الأوسط وابن عساكر بسند ضعيف عن عائشة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما أهبط الله آدم إلى الأرض قام وجاء الكعبة فصلى ركعتين فألهمه الله هذا الدعاء. Imam Tabrani mentions in his Mu'jam al-Awsat and Ibn Asakir, although with a weak chain, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet said, when Allah sent down Adam to the earth, Adam alayhi salam stood up in front of the Kaaba. Yani the Kaaba, the spot where the Kaaba is. He stood in front of that. فَصَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ He performed two rakat salah. فَأَلْهَمَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الدُّعَى And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him with this dua. We said yesterday that the Prophet ﷺ will praise Allah in a manner that he's never been praised before. And that praise will come from where? From Allah. So, you know, they say, Bhai Fulan, Bari, chi dua mangi. Who are we? Dua mangna, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for dua, this is the first dua we should make. Ya Allah, hame dua mangne ka dhang sikha de. You know, one of our ulama, senior ulama, Hazrat Sheikh Khalifa, who is here, we were going to have a program with him after dhuhr a few weeks ago, Mona Bilal Sahab. Then there was an issue, he couldn't come. So he just came, and he came a little bit late, he had a car issue. So we only had time for 15 minutes, gave him a quick tour, and then he came here. And there by the door, Walid Sahab told him, you know, to make dua. So he made a 5-minute dua. But like I wish I had that recorded. What a dua, in 5 minutes, the type of things, and you know, it's not just what you ask, but it's how you ask it. How you ask. Dear brothers, dear sisters, we dua mangne ka dhang hame Allah sikha de. Dua mangne walon ki sohbat mein hum baithenge to hum seekhenge. We have to learn how to ask Allah. We have to learn how to ask Allah. And you're going to learn that by listening. First of all, growing up, we listened to our parents making dua. And then when we were in madrasa, every single morning after Salatul Fajr, the whole madrasa would read Surah Yasin. And our principal, Muhazzam al-Shabir Sahib, would make dua. He still does. May Allah grant him siha and afia. And then on Thursday nights, Hazrat Mufti Ridha al-Aqsa would make the dua after Durood Sharif. These are the two weekly duas, minimum, that are happening. Then, of course, jalsas and other occasions. So when you hear these du'as, you realize like, whoa, I never even thought about asking these things. And there's the comprehensiveness of it is something that I don't have that. The comprehensiveness. Of A to Z, you're covering as many bases as you can. You cannot make a 50-minute public du'a every day after Fajr. Not possible. Everyone got to go to class. Everyone's got to go somewhere else. You can make your own individual du'a as much as you want. So within 7-8 minutes, how can you make a comprehensive dua that benefits everyone? That's what I got to learn from my teachers. I mean, well, at least that's what I got to hear, I should say. Even on this trip, when I went in January, I was trying to record it. I was like, this dua is so good. But you know, it wasn't very clear, the sound. So, what was I saying? Mona Bilal's dua, in that dua, I forgot a lot of it, but one of the duas that he made was, he was making, first of all, dua for protection of the madrasa. But the levels and the degrees he took it, well, I never heard it. And forget about making dua. I never heard anyone making dua like this. You know, wherever he goes, naturally, he makes dua for protection of dini institutions he visits. So it was so multi-layered and so comprehensive. All the various possible pitfalls, all the various possible attacks, all the various possible, you know, assaults from shayateen, from humans, from jinn, from this, that. He covered those bases. And then at the end, when he said, Ya Allah, grant us death with iman, raise us with iman, this, that. And Ya Allah, on the day of judgment, allow us to, you know, meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of us say that. Allow us to drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar. Okay. But the way he said it in Urdu, in such salis, beautiful Urdu, was that Ya Allah, allow us to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the Hawd al-Kawthar from a goblet that he has already drunk from. And then allow us to have our lips touched the very same spot on that goblet where our beloved Habib Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lips were. Yar kaun sochta hai sir? Who thinks like this? That I allow my lips to touch the same spot where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lips were touching on that goblet. This, you cannot make a dua like this until your mindset is like this. You have to be thinking about the akhirah. You had to go through the stages of the akhirah so many times in your own muhasaba, muraqabah. that you can, as you're making dua, it's like you're looking at the Day of Judgment. And you are weaving through the crowds, trying to get to the front. And then from, you know, a million miles away, you see where Rasulullah is. And you're making your way up. Might take 1,000 years to get up there. May take 5,000 years to get there. It's a long year. It's a long day. You know, 50,000 year long day. 50,000 years. Since Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, we look at where, from the Hijrah, we're only not even 1,500 years away. So what is 50,000 years? وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُونَ. Every single day is 1,000 years, but the Day of Judgment, 50,000. To how many thousands? You see, oh, there is where the Rasulullah is. You can see, you cannot imagine what type of special nur must be on that spot. And imagine you make it up there, and then subhanAllah, you're just fighting your way to go, and then the Habib Mustafa recognizes you. He recognizes you being an ummati of his from the athar and the effects of wudu on your face, from the effects of wudu on your limbs. And he calls you forward. I mean, like, literally, what honor of this world could compare to that? All the stuff that we're running after, all the stuff that we're worried in this world, how can it compare to the Prophet saying, Ajal, come. And then the Prophet giving us from his blessed hands, from the Hawdi Kawthar, Man shariba minhu lam yadhma ba'dahu abada. Whoever drinks from it once will never, ever become thirsty for eternity. And you're pretty much guaranteed for Jannah after that, no. And then to give you from his hands, after he has drunk from that same cup, this is like, you know, what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu enjoyed. Is that off limits for us? No. The problem is, how many times did we make dua for this? Is the question. It's all open. Yani Maidan Kulai. The place is open. You can compete. But we have to compete. We have to have the desire. But hamare fikr, our mindset doesn't even go to the akhirah. We're just going round and round in circles over here. Roosevelt to North Avenue to Army Trail, back and forth. You know? From this store to that store, from, you know, what you call kids drop off, pick up. This coffee shop, this store, grocery store, office, you ain't piram. When are we going to get the mind to think about the scenes of the akhirah and say, Allah, I want that? In this dunya, we have these goals that we make for ourselves. 5-year goal, 10-year goal. And a person, we're goal driven, most of us. I want this. I want to get into this. Not a child, if he's a 9th grader, 10th grader, he says, I want to become a doctor. No, not 9th grader, 4th grader. 4th grader, I'll tell you. And then not only what doctor, he'll tell you what specialist he wants to become. That's here in our Chicago Midwest. I was in the Bay Area. Well, no one wants to become a doctor. They all want to become, you know, entrepreneurs and startup guys. So I say, okay, well, I'm 11-year-old guy. He's already thinking about his own startup. I'm serious. That's the mahal over there. So my point is, when you create a mahal at home, even a 9-year-old, he will start thinking 20 years in advance. And you'll say, I want to become this specialist. I want to open this company. I want to do this. When is the discussion at home? Kehte na jannat ke charche nikal gaye ghar mein se. The discussion of Jannah is gone. The discussion where the excitement is created of Akhirah. Excitement of Jannah. Excitement of the levels of Jannah. Excitement of the luxuries of Jannah. When there's going to be no charcha and no discussion, naturally the excitement is not going to be there. Naturally the niyyah is not going to be there. Naturally then the dua is not going to be there. Naturally the effort is not going to be there. Effort to dur ki baat hai. Before the effort comes, dua. Before the dua comes, niyyah. Before the niyyah comes, desire. Before the desire comes, discussion. So if you have the discussions, then we can hopefully one day get where we need to. So this is how our environment at home, we have to change. And in amongst our family and friends, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what he was all about. One day he was wearing a nice beautiful kurta. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah, as Anas says, Anas or Jabir radiallahu anhu says, one day it was a fully lit moon. Full lit moon. Like, I think it's going to happen here on Thursday. Already last night was beautiful. I think Thursday is going to be super bright, bright moon, right? So, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the Sahaba said, we're looking at Rasulullah, we're looking at the moon, the Badr. And then we're looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're looking back and forth, full moon and the face of the Prophet. And then we said, most definitely, the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is far more beautiful than the moon. They were comparing. So imagine such a beautiful face, such a beautiful personality, and he's wearing a beautiful gift that was given to him, a kurta. So the Sahaba, who loved him more than they loved themselves, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, so beautiful you look today. So amazing you look." They started complimenting his physique and his kurta and his new clothes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like this, that my Sahaba should even for a moment be infatuated by what I'm wearing. Halanke, it's not just clothing, it's actually on whose body is it. It's like a show of expression of love, that we love you and we love you how you look now, you look so nice. But the Sahaba are poor, and they're not going to have the means to have this clothing. And I don't want them for one moment to think that they're being left out. I don't want them to think that they don't have what I have or what others of the kuffar have. So immediately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu had already become shaheed. Sa'ad had become shaheed. He said, "Lama nadidu Sa'ad." Indeed, the handkerchief that Sa'ad is using in Jannah is far superior than everything you can see. Everything in the heavens and the earth, or everything you can see, or something of that sort. He basically shifted the attention of the Sahaba towards one of their companions who had already become shaheed. He said, "Don't look at me. Don't look at anyone." So if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not want his Sahaba to look at his kurta, how can you imagine? Would he want them to look at anyone else's shirt, anyone else's horse, anyone else's house, and especially that of a disbeliever? You see how quick he was to change the conversation. That's important for us to do, for our own benefit and for our home, is that we channel the direction towards Akhirah. Anytime someone says, can we have a nice car, a nice home? Of course you can. But use and throw. Use, enjoy, thank Allah and move on. Dunya is like toilet paper. Use it, you have to have it. If you don't have it, you need to go get it. But then no one sits there and adores it. You say, can you do without it? No, you need to carry it in your backpack, wherever you go. But we don't sit there and adore it. We don't think about it while we're sitting. Oh, I wish I can have one more toilet paper roll. No one thinks like that. It's a use, it's a utility, a use and throw. This is a good example of this dunya. All the wealth, all the homes, all the cars, all the businesses, everything, toilet paper. We need it, but we don't love it. It fulfills a big need for preparing for the akhirah. That's what the dunya is for, to prepare for the akhirah. But besides that, I'm not going to be attached to it. So how do we make ourselves, how do we ensure that we do not become attached to the dunya? What was it? One of the ways is to constantly speaking about the akhirah. And this is where the ta'aleem comes in. This is where the discussions come in, right? Of that a person speaks about all sorts of things of the akhirah. And anytime you notice people speaking about the dunya, we change the discussion and the topic of that. I don't mean if someone is asking you, I need to buy a car, which one should I get? You say, okay, let's talk about akhirah. No, please, let's be common sense. What I'm saying is, let's not speak about infatuation with other people's dunya. Did you see what he's got? No, we don't need this type of discussion. Talk about what you need, what I need. What are you doing for that? That's the main discussion. So now, anyway, Adam alayhi salam is standing in front of the Kaaba after he comes down, and Allah inspired him with this dua. This dua you'll find in the same two books, Hizbul A'zam and Munajat Maqbul. What's the dua? اللهم إنك تعلم سري وعلانيتي فاقبل معذرتي وتعلم حاجتي فأعطني سؤلي وتعلم ما في نفسي فاغفر لي ذنبي اللهم أسألك إيمانا يباشر قلبي ويقينا صادقا حتى أعلم أنه لا يصيبني إلا ما كتبت لي وارضني بما قسمت لي. This is the dua. فأوحى الله إليه يا آدم قد قبلت توبتك وغفرت ذنبك ولن يدعوني أحد بهذا الدعاء إلا غفرت له ذنبه وكفيته المهم من أمره وزجرت عنه الشيطان واتجرت له من وراء كل تاجر وأقبلت إليه الدنيا راغبة وإن لم يردها. سبحان الله. Look at, let me tell you the fadail of it before, so you'll focus more on the dua. So Hazrat Adam made this dua. After he made the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And he says, "O Adam, قد قبلت توبتك." I have accepted your tawbah. I have accepted your brothers. If you can please move forward and sit close together on a regular basis, if it all the, you know, I keep on forgetting, but you know, inshallah, if we all sit close, and the one who comes later also, he knows where to sit. Oh Allah, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Ya Adam, قَدْ قَبِلْتُ تَوْبَتَكَ, I have accepted your dua. Number one, kaam ho gaya aapka. Your tawbah is accepted. What else we want? Number two, غَفَرْتُ ذَنْبَكَ, I have forgiven your sins. Number three, and no one will ever supplicate to me with this dua except that I will also forgive his sin. Then, whatever his worries, muhim, whatever things that are source of worry and stress for him, I will take care of it. I'll come between him and his worries. وَزَجَرْتُ عَنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ, and I will ensure, I will back away, push away shaitan from him. Zajara, you know, to push away. I'll push away shaitan from him. وَتَّجَرْتُ لَهُ, and behind every businessman, I will be doing the business for him. You are not going to benefit from any businessman's business dealing with you as much as you will benefit by me working behind the scenes to make sure all your deals come fruitful. Your risk increases basically. وَأَقْبَلَتْ إِلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا, and then the dunya will come to you رَاغِمَةً, disgraced. Dunya will come to you disgraced. وَإِن لَمْ يُرِدْهَا, even if you do not ask for it, even if you do not want it. Subhanallah. Now, is there something in here that brothers don't like? Is there something here that you don't want? Allah has given us the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Let me repeat the virtue of this dua. Adam said, Allah says, oh Adam, I've accepted your tawbah, I've forgiven your sins, and whoever asks me with this dua, I will definitely also forgive his sin. I will take care of his worry from where, on my own, I'll take care of his worries. I'll come between him and his worries. I will push away the shaitan. I will do business for him, right? I will make sure every business is profitable. And what else? The dunya will come to him disgraced. Wa illam yuridha. What does that mean? Wa illam yuridha. Arada yuridu. Wa illam yuridha. Even if he doesn't want it. Even if he didn't want it, the dunya will come to your feet. Subhanallah. And the example that we've seen that with our teachers, with our scholars, alhamdulillah, that the more they run away from it, the more it comes to them. They say, we don't want it. They said, no, it's coming to you. And this is the beautiful example of dunya is given, of like the shadow. That when you walk away from the sun, which is the source of that light, what happens? The shadow's in front of you and you're walking. And you start walking after your shadow. Try that. Okay, Musa, try that at home. Try trying to catch up your shadow. Are you going to catch up? Are you going to be able to catch up your shadow? What do you think? You go back all the way to Timbuktu, all the way to China afterwards, you're not going to be able to catch it. Whole life, you'll never be able to catch it up. Because you turned your back to the sun. And as soon as a person turns his face towards the sun, the source of that light, and you run towards the sun, and you run away from one door to the other, the shadow is going to keep on chasing you. You don't want it. You say, go. But the shadow keeps on chasing you. This is the dunya. When a person makes his tawajjuh towards Allah, truly, while still making his hands do the business, but his heart is connected to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that dunya fall to his feet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the reality of this, what I just said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to supplicate to Allah in an accepted manner in with this dua. Now let's go through the dua. Allahumma innaka ta'lamu sirri wa alaniyati. Oh Allah, you know my secrets. Wa alaniyati, and you know my external life. You know my private life, you know my external life. You know my private life, you know my public life. You know that which is hidden, and you know that which is apparent. This is the first thing we have to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقْبَلْ مَعْذِرَتِي, so please accept my excuse. Please accept my excuse for my mistakes. وَتَعْلَمُ حَاجَتِي, and oh Allah, you already know all my needs. Needs of dunya, qabr, akhirah, needs of family, all that. You know my needs. فَأَعْطِنِي سُؤْلِي, so then please give me what I'm asking. When a person comes and asks you for, say, you know, a band-aid. You're asking me, mashallah, you look healthy, wealthy, everything fine. You say, can I have a band-aid? Well, I didn't know you want a band-aid. Okay, let me go find it. Allah forbid, another person comes, his shirt is torn, his pants are torn, he's visibly bleeding, looks wounded. He doesn't even need to even ask. We're going to quickly, before he arrives, grab everything we need for medical aid kit to attend to him. We're telling Allah that, Ya Allah, you already see me. You see exactly how messed up I am. You see what my needs are. So before I even can utter what I need from you, you please give me. I am speaking. But as I am speaking, you already start tending to me. For example, when a person comes injured, but what happened to you? What happened? Oh, I was driving a bike. I was on a motorcycle. I got this, that. We don't wait for him to say the whole story. Acha, aisa hua, phir? Then, okay, let me now take out the band-aid. We start working and patching him up before he even starts speaking. Correct? Is that how they do it? So similarly, you're saying, Ya Allah, you give me, I'm getting started, I'm speaking now, but you already see my condition. Please start treating me and taking care of my wounds as I get started and sending my list of issues. Subhanallah. Allah definitely knows that. No person in this dunya, if you come to your parents or your teacher, they'll say, bye, speak up, man. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't have alimul. I'm not alimul ghaib. What's your problem? What do you need? Why are you crying? Why are you upset? Why are you frustrated? But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is alimul ghaib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows the depth of how hurt you are or how much in need you are of some situation. Our job is to express to the best of our ability, not that because Allah doesn't know, but because Allah asked us to do so. So that by speaking to Allah, our relationship with Allah can become stronger and our conviction in Him can become stronger. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows exactly what we need. وَتَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, you already know what's inside me, what's inside my nafs. فَغْفِرْ لِي. So please forgive me. ذَنْبِ, my sins. So three things. Oh Allah, you know my public life and private life. So accept my, accept my excuse. Number two, oh Allah, you know my needs, so grant me what I'm asking for. Ya Allah, you know what's inside my nafs, so please forgive my sins. Allahumma as'aluka imanan yubashiru qalbi. Oh Allah, I ask you for such iman that will literally touch and that will be literally be connected and sandwiched into my heart. Right? Mubashara is when two things are attached to one another, lying next to each other, sitting on top of one another. You're asking for iman that's not on a veneer. You're asking for iman that goes deep down into the deepest crevices of the heart. And then, وَيَقِينًا صَادِقًا. And O Allah, then grant me such level of conviction. صَادِقًا, true conviction. In all the promises of Allah, in all the warnings of Allah, in the wa'adas of Allah, the wa'ids of Allah, true conviction in the ayats of the Quran, true conviction in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. What would happen? To what degree should I have this conviction? حَتَّى أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُصِيبُنِي إِلَّا مَا كَتَبْتَ لِي. Until I begin to know and begin to realize and begin to feel convinced that nothing will afflict me except for that which you have already ordained for me. What do you call it? Taqdeer. Rada bil qada. Rada bil qada. To be pleased with Allah's decree. Very important. This is part of our iman. If a person is angry about how life is going, I'm not, then that's not good. We can be sad and ask Allah for something better, but you cannot be angry at Allah. Why are all their affairs getting taken care of and my first affair is still stuck? Why is his business keep on continuing to increase and my one store is also closed down? Why are all his children, mashallah, getting married to such amazing people and I can't even get one of my children married? Why are all his children going to the best of colleges and my son doesn't want to study, etc., etc.? But the way to channel this sad is sadness towards Allah, in front of Allah, not frustration and anger towards Allah. That doesn't get us anywhere. Instead, that makes us in even a more pitiful state. So, Ya Allah, allow me to have such yaqeen that whatever difficulties are coming my way, it's coming because you had already written it for me, and I need to be pleased with it. وَارْضِنِي بِمَا قَسَمْتَ لِي. And then, oh Allah, eventually make me happy. Not eventually, I added that. وَارْضِنِي, make me pleased with whatever you have distributed for me, meaning whatever you have allotted for me. Allow me to be happy with whatever I did get. And do not allow me to be angry at what I did not get. Allow me to be happy at the blessings I have. And allow me to be not angry at whatever difficulties I'm going through. This is the dua of Hazrat Adam after he was sent down from the heaven in front of the Kaaba. After performing two rakat salah, Allah inspired him with this dua. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I've accepted your tawbah, forgiven your sins, and whoever supplicates to me with this dua, I will also forgive his sins, I'll remove his worries, I'll push away the shaitan from him, and I will make sure all his business deals become fruitful, and the dunya will come to him disgraced, even if he doesn't want it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this dua on our behalf as well. If you all, we have a minute, or yeah, we're going to start now, but maybe all of us can read together this dua. Take it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma innaka ta'alamu sirri wa'alaniyati faqbal ma'zirati wa'ta'alamu حاجتي فأعطني سؤلي وتعلم ما في نفسي فاغفر لي ذنبي اللهم أسألك إيمانا يباشر قلبي ويقينا صادقا حتى أعلم أنه لا يصيبني إلا ما كتبت لي وارضني بما قسمت لي آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله the brothers can proceed downstairs for the dua. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد 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 صلى الله عليه وسلم استغفر الله 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 الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وتباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناءنا عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا المتقين إماما ربي اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إن إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم، ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين، ونجنا برحمتك من قوم الكافرين. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وأفوض أمري إلى الله، وأفوض أمري إلى الله، وأفوض أمري إلى الله، إن الله بصير بالعباد. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا، وجلاء أحزاننا، وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا، وسائقنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا، وجلاء أحزاننا، وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا، وسائقنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم حبب إلينا الإيمان، حبب إلينا القرآن، حبب إلينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين، اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين، اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك. اللهم اجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك، واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. يا إله العالمين، نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. لا بأس ظهور إن شاء الله، أتي بالبأس رب الناس، لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيي على الإسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our, Ya Allah, fast. Oh Allah, accept our 11th fast. Oh Allah, we ask you to, Ya Allah, to accept, Ya Allah, this first Ashara and the beginning of the next Ashara. Oh Allah, whatever, however our days may have been spent in the past, allow every remaining day and night to be far better than any previous day and night. Ya Allah, allow us to have ability to manage our time properly. Allow us to take care of all the obligations that we have on our plate, along with taking out adequate time, Ya Allah, for reciting the Quran and doing dhikr and dua. Ya Allah, put barakah in our time. Ya Allah, put barakah in our time. Put barakah in our time. Ya Allah, put barakah in our time. Oh Allah, grant us physical health. Ya Allah, please grant physical health to all of us. Oh Allah, there are many who are under the flu and other types of sicknesses. Oh Allah, in this blessed month of Ramadan, oh Allah, are not able to, they feel very sad that they're not able to fully, Ya Allah, benefit from the blessings of Ramadan because they're not able to come to the masjid or they're not able to fast. Ya Allah, we ask you to Allah, allow them to enjoy the full blessings of accepted fast and accepted qiyam for those who are absolutely sick and cannot fulfill these obligations. And Ya Allah, we ask you to grant shifa to all of them as well. Oh Allah, allow this sickness to become a means of purification of the sins, a means of elevating their status. Oh Allah, we have one of our local musallis and was very close, Ya Allah, relative of a staff member as well. Oh Allah, we just found out, Ya Allah, that they possibly have a type of cancer. Oh Allah, just this news just came in now. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant them complete shifa. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant them complete shifa. Oh Allah, anyone and everyone who is suffering from cancer, oh Allah, we ask you to allow this disease to be regarded as a plague. Oh Allah, and grant them all the blessings of a plague. Oh Allah, allow it to become a means of complete forgiveness for them. Oh Allah, allow it becomes a means of their status being elevated, and allow every single one of them who's suffering from cancer or any other disease to be granted complete shifa. Oh Allah, grant them complete shifa. Oh Allah, grant us all complete shifa. Oh Allah, whatever is causing these sicknesses, allow us, Ya Allah, to be protected from it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant, Ya Allah, respite, Ya Allah, and grant respite to the Ummah. Allow the Ummah to fully repent, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our brothers and sisters in Sudan, in Gaza, in Palestine. Oh Allah, in Syria. Oh Allah, in any and all areas of Bilad al-Sham. Oh Allah, in India, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and all other parts of the world as well. well, wherever the ummah is being, Ya Allah, going through difficulty, being butchered, we ask you, Ya Allah, to bring an end to this butchering. We ask you to bring an end to this suffering. Ya Allah, allow the ummah to collectively repent to you, Ya Allah. Allow the ummah to collectively repent to you, Ya Allah. Allow the ummah to collectively repent to you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, please allow every one of us to make long, beautiful du'as on our own. And inspire us with the du'as that we need to make, Ya Allah. Inspire us with the du'as we need to make. Subhanallah, Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wa Salamun Al Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ameen.